Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Hey, friends, and welcome to this episode of Now Hear This, Canby. Thank you so much for listening. I'm James Walton, and this is what's happening this week in our community. Folks dreaming of a white Christmas this year had to settle for the next best thing, a blanket of fresh snow that greeted the Canby area on Boxing Day morning. More of the white stuff fell Sunday night with 2 to 4 inches accumulating in Canby and the surrounding areas. It was just enough for people to get out and play without causing any major disruptions in Canby, according to City Administrator Scott Archer and Police Chief George Trow. Nothing significant to report, Archer told Now Hear This Canby on Monday. Public Works sanded this morning and will do so again as needed for the next round of snow and freezing temps. We continue to monitor for bad spots that need attention. While the more heavily traveled city streets stayed clear, the rural roads in the surrounding countryside were made much more treacherous by the snow and ice that formed and the freezing temperatures, with forecasts predicting overnight temps in the low 20s and high teens through early next week. It has been a challenge because of the road conditions were terrible in some parts of the district, like Central Point Road and Karras Road, Canby Fire Chief Jim Davis said. Because the conditions were so disparate between the city and the county byways, Canby Fire was forced to put on chains on one medical unit and fire engine for responding to rural calls, while leaving one set unchained for Canby calls. It does slow us down a lot anytime we have to respond with chained up engines, Davis said on Tuesday, but we're going to leave them chained with anticipation of ice tonight. The chief reported a steady stream of typical medical calls, but no major crashes or storm-related issues. Zor Lutheran opened on Christmas Day as a 24-hour warming shelter for those in need and will remain available anytime temperatures hit 33 degrees or lower. Zor is located at 190 Southwest 3rd Avenue and can be reached at 503-266-4061. The Malala Warming Center at 209 Kennel Avenue and the Father's Heart Street Ministry at 603 12th Street in Oregon City are also open as overnight shelters. More information on warming centers throughout the region can be found on Clackamas County's website at clackamas.us/relief. Christmas came a few days early for more than 350 kids in Canby last week, as the Canby Center welcomed hundreds of local families to pick out presents and other goodies from a wide variety of donated toys. It's Christmas time, which means that 2,000 years ago, baby Jesus was born in a manger, said Canby Center Executive Director Ray Keene. And we are celebrating today by giving away gifts to children. A total of 358 local children were registered to pick up gifts at the annual Christmas event held on Wednesday, December 22nd, while also enjoying a visit and pictures with Santa, hot chocolate, cookies, and candy canes galore. Now, it's been a great, great day. Santa is doing an amazing job and the elves are trying to keep up too, Keene said with a laugh. It's great to see the smiles. It was a great today to see kids lining up. They see the presents and then they see Santa in the corner and they just light up. They're so excited. Similar to Shop with a Cop, hosted by the Canby Police Department during the holiday season, the Canby Center's Christmas giveaway offers kids the chance to pick out their own gift and stocking stuffer. That's the way we've done it for a few years, and it seemed to work really well, Keen said. The toys are grouped by different age categories, and they're able to go through and pick what they'd like. Gift cards to Cuts Forth Market were also available to families in need of food during the holiday season. Oh, I do have to give a shout out to the Canby community and say thank you to those who dropped off a gift and those who donated to help us purchase toys, Keen said. We're really grateful for that. Families registered in advance, and the need was great, Keen admitted. Meeting those needs was another example of the Canby community's generosity and, to Keen, God's providence. We get to be in the midst of miracles that happen all the time, he said. We had 358 kids registered for this event. A month ago, we didn't have 358 gifts to give, but we do today. That's one of those moments I'll always cherish. Keen believes that these kinds of gestures can make an even greater impact when people are in the midst of personal challenges or at the end of difficult years many have experienced. I've heard of people today who were evicted just a couple of days ago, Keen said. Those kinds of challenges just seem to pile up for folks. I think it means more that we can imagine to have others step forward and to be generous, bringing a word of encouragement to them, and that's what we try to do here. It's just an expression of God's love for people. We see that in the birth of Christ at Christmas, and we're an expression of that at the Canby Center the other 364 days of the year. Due to COVID-19, the Canby Center took its Christmas show on the road last year, driving Santa and carolers to and fro and handing out more than 400 gifts to families and children in local neighborhoods. This year's event was able to take place in person, but with masks and other precautions in place. You can find out about how you can get help or support the work of the Canby Center at thecanbycenter.org. And for photos of this event, you can find this story on our website at canbyfirst.com or follow the Canby Current on Facebook and Instagram. Oregon's bout with the Omicron variant of the coronavirus will be less severe than expected, but hospitalizations are still forecasted to reach a system-straining peak in February. Oregon Health and Science University said in a statement on Thursday that the forecast was modified to account for expected booster shots and behavior modifications by Oregonians to reduce the spread of infection. Even the more hopeful forecast expects about 1,250 people in the hospital for treatment by mid-February, according to Dr. Peter Graven of OHSU's Office of Advanced Analytics. Last week, Graven had projected hospitalizations could reach 2,000 and as many as 3,000 because of the fast spread of Omicron. That prompted Governor Kate Brown to declare in a news conference that the state would have to push to have more than 1 million more booster shots administered by the end of January. Health officials said booster shots on top of the regular vaccines for COVID are the most effective at reducing the severity of an Omicron-related illness. Graven still forecasts an accelerating spread in January of Omicron in Oregon, but with less serious impacts. That's assuming people take action to reduce the spread of the virus. If they don't, the projection could go as high as 1,700 people hospitalized in Oregon by that time, OHSU said in a statement on Thursday while releasing the latest forecast. The statement said the new numbers incorporate, quote, emerging data from Denmark revealing the hospitalization rate appears to be 70% lower with Omicron than from illness caused by the Delta variant, a lower rate of hospitalization than was known a week ago. OHSU officials have said that Denmark's characteristics more closely match those of Oregon than South Africa, where Omicron was first detected. In that country, officials had reported the surge is abating rapidly. Health and medical officials are watching hospital capacity closely. With previous surges, some medical procedures were postponed to make room for those needing treatment for COVID. On Thursday, the Oregon Health Authority reported that 7% of the hospital beds, 306, were available for something less than critical care. Statewide, intensive care units had 67 beds available. That's only 10% of capacity. Hospital executives have been urging Oregonians to press on with getting vaccinations and adding boosters to reduce the need for hospital care. In the fall surge, hospitals were so strained that they were employing out-of-state help, and 50 relied on contingents from the Oregon National Guard. As of Thursday, Brown had not initiated another deployment. The first had involved 1,600 National Guardsmen. And it's time for Cougar Country. Hometown sports coverage is brought to you by Reif and Hunsicker, PC. When you need an attorney, turn to the firm Canby has trusted for over 50 years. You can call them today at 503-266-3456. For the latest sports news, you can follow us on Twitter at Cougar Country OR or Instagram at Cougar Country Pod. Well, Christmas time came right on time for the Canby boys basketball team this year. For it was on a Zoom call on Christmas Day that Canby point guard Alex Evans and the rest of the Cougar squad learned that they had been gifted an appearance in the Les Schwab Invitational, Oregon's premier high school basketball tournament. Both Cougar head coach Craig Evans and the official tournament Twitter page confirmed the late addition on Saturday. The Cougars were one of the four new teams to join the reconfigured tourney. In-state schools Grant and West Lynn, as well as out-of-staters Isidore Newman and Gonzaga College, dropped out for unspecified reasons. Canby joined David Douglas, Sherwood, Evergreen, Washington, as the replacement options for the Les Schwab Invitational. The invitation is another sign of Canby's rise to one of the state's premier programs. The Cougars had earned a bid to the tournament last year after a promising 2019 campaign, but of course, COVID had other plans. Now, after a red-hot start that pushed the Cougs to the top 10 of the OSAA 6A rankings, Canby has played their way back. Evans, who enters Sunday averaging 14 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 6.5 assists, sees the schedule change as an opportunity for all to see what the Cougars are made of. It feels great to get the opportunity to show what Canby has, Evans told The Current. We aren't the Canby team the state's used to. This last-minute shakeup means sweeping schedule changes for the Cougars. Canby will not play in their own biannual Canby tournament, originally slated for December 28th through the 30th. Instead, the Cougs finished 1-2 in the prestigious Les Schwab Invitational, beating Evergreen but losing to David Douglas and perennial powerhouse Jesuit. The tournament wraps up with championship matches on Thursday. And that will do it for the news on this episode of Now Hear This Canby. I'm James Walton. Thank you for listening. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
And now, a message from Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes.
Hi, everyone. I wanted to take this moment to invite you personally to come and hang out with us for our end of season client event. It's a thank you to all the wonderful people we've done business with, as well as a welcome to a lot of our community. I'm doing this in partnership with Vanessa Zimmerman, Zimmerman team at Academy Mortgage. It's just kind of our way of saying thank you. We've really enjoyed getting to know you, doing business with you, etc. We'll be outside. We're sensitive to the fact that we're in COVID, still dealing with that. So it will be spread out. People will have room to breathe and sit and walk and talk. Reckless Company, if you've never heard them before, they're awesome. They're going to be playing. We'll have TMK here. I can't wait to try the corn dog. I've been waiting like 2 years to try this corn dog. So it looks amazing, and I've heard it's amazing, and I think there's quite a following. Also, they'll have all kinds of other food. We'll have beer and cider. Everything's hosted, of course, as a thank you. Again, it's for our clients. It's for our community. We really, really want to come and celebrate. We'll have swag for you, all kinds of fun things for the kids. We hope to see you on 9/16 from 4 to 8 in the afternoon.
And welcome back to the ad sponsor section, where I get to talk to people about books, because I always drag Megan Waterman in here to be with me. Hi, Megan.
Hi. That's not a bad thing. Talking about books is always the best time.
I think you know of all people that I can talk about books endlessly.
I do.
Yeah. So, Megan, do you want to tell our listeners about what's going on down at the Book Nook?
So, at the Book Nook, we are getting ready for the holidays.
Yeah.
I know.
There's only one I care about. And by the time this ad comes out, it's basically over.
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yeah, I like spooky, scary stories.
I know you do. We've got a lot of great spooky, scary stories in right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, but spooky, scary stories are also good for Christmas. Do you have a favorite author that writes spooky, scary stories that are appropriate for Christmas?
You go with your classic Charles Dickens, right?
Yep.
Some Christmas Carol stuff.
Absolutely, that's my favorite.
That's the best. There's M.R. James. I know about him. He did a whole series of short scary stories for
Christmas.
Short
scary stories? I don't know. Christmas in general is kind of scary. Depends on how many people you have to buy for.
How many people you have to cook dinner for?
Right.
Speaking of cooking dinner, Thanksgiving is coming up.
Thanksgiving is coming. We have got some beautiful cookbooks in recently, and some really cute kids cookbooks just came in if you want to start cooking with your grandkids or starting to train up your little ones to cook Thanksgiving dinner so you can just sit on the couch and watch football.
And right now is the time to go in, right?
Yes.
Because waiting until Christmas Eve for that one special book that someone wants isn't going to work.
It's not going to be there. This year, it's no secret, the last year and a half has been a little crazy for the whole world. And that is really going to affect Christmas this year. There are going to be serious stock issues this year. So get your Christmas shopping done early. We've been working really hard to get as much inventory on our shelves and in our overstock as possible so that we have what you want at Christmas time. But if you know now a title that you want to buy for somebody for Christmas, get it now.
All right.
I might not be able to get it later.
And what is all three of ours? Because we also have Amy in the studio with us. What's all three of ours this season's book recommendation?
Okay.
Amy, what's your book recommendation for this season?
The Night Before Christmas.
All right. Yeah, that's classic. Megan?
And for me, my favorite Christmas read? Okay, my favorite book that's coming out it's no secret, I am an Outlander fan. I love Diana Gabaldon. There may be a cardboard cutout of Jamie Fraser in our bookstore. Book boyfriends are a thing.
Yeah.
And finally, book 9 is coming out towards the end of November. So you will not see me until I finish reading that.
And mine is the Dungeons & Dragons Feast of Legends or whatever, the table. So make sure you guys come on down to Book Nook. Megan, where are you guys located?
We are on the corner of Grant and 2nd in downtown Canby.
All right.
All right, joining us on the Canby Conversation, a Christmas-themed Canby Conversation today, we have Kathy Robinson of the Canby Adult Center. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Tyler. How you doing?
Good. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.
Same to you.
Santa brought you a little bit of a cold this year, you're saying.
Yes, Santa did. Via water.
Yeah, sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Oh, well, at least it's just cold.
We might be getting snow, though. Everyone's chattering about that. People are excited.
Yes. Yeah, we're excited, too. Although also it requires a little bit of planning ahead on our part, which
is
a little tough to do to be looking ahead to next week already. But
it's been a while since we had a white Christmas, hasn't it?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember a white Christmas.
Yeah.
Usually white Valentine's Day.
Yeah, right. That's about what we had last year, and that wasn't a good gift for Valentine's Day last year.
Not at all.
Okay. Well, we are here to talk about a wonderful, wonderful day at the Canby Adult Center. Wonderful event that happened on the 22nd on Tuesday. Tell us about it. Or 21st. Sorry.
First. Yeah. As you know, our dining room has been closed to in-person meals since March 13th, 2020.
Yeah.
They will ever stand out in my memory. It was also my birthday. So after really talking to my board and talking to my staff and getting a sense of of sort of where some of our regular folks are in terms of feeling able to go out and, you know, access at least to vaccinations and that kind of thing. We decided we'd go ahead and offer an in-person sit-down meal, splitting it up into two seatings so that our dining room was only at 50% capacity, four people around tables instead of eight, and spreading people out. And so my board thankfully approved the proposal. And so we were able to host a wonderful Christmas meal for about 125 people on Tuesday, which was really terrific.
Yeah, yeah. It did not feel, I was there for the second seating and it to get photos and whatnot, which you can find on our Facebook page, plug. But it did not feel, you know, half empty, if that's what it was. It felt very full, but not in an unsafe way, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. It was definitely festive times, and it encouraged us to pull all of our decorations out and get the dining room looking nice. People
came all decked out as well, wearing their Christmas sweaters and Christmas masks and everything.
Christmas reindeer antlers.
Well,
you know, it's hard to imagine, but we again heard from a good half a dozen of the folks who came that meal was their Christmas, that for whatever reason family are away or they don't have family, that on the big day itself they'll just be spending a quiet day at home alone. So that's a really good reminder to us that it's worth the effort to make an event like that happen.
Absolutely. How did you feel, and how did the staff feel to see folks? Obviously, you've been serving all throughout, you know, continuing to maybe see these folks in their cars from time to time or on deliveries, but to actually see them back the way it used to be.
It was absolutely amazing. It was, just so full of good cheer and reunions all around. Some people, most of the faces were known to us, but we had some who were local members of the community who we didn't know. For example, there was I don't know what year they graduated, but a Canby High School mini reunion of five women who together some decades ago and decided that they would hold their reunion here at our lunch. So stuff like that's really, it's really cool to hear people's stories. The staff were thrilled. We have Matt English from the fire department on our board. He made sure that we had some firefighters here to help serve and take temperatures and generally be that extra presence in the room to make sure that we were continuing to do things safely.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for the kitchen staff, right? I mean, their work hasn't changed so much. Actually, they've probably been busier. In terms of making the meals, they're probably using more to-go containers than they used to. But that's been the big thing that they've missed, right, is seeing folks, seeing the smiles, seeing people enjoy their hard work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because they haven't, at least for those of us, like our Meals on Wheels coordinator, client services person, they're still having some sort of contact with the clients, much more of it over the phone, but some limited in person. But you're right, the kitchen team haven't had that satisfaction in almost 2 years. And my chef, Hurley Baird, he said to me at the end, he's like, man, that was a great reminder of why I love my job. I've really, really missed this. So it was a boost in the arm for everybody.
Yeah, that's awesome. What kind of things did you hear from folks that took part in the dinner?
Well, the meal was wonderful. I think I saw you noshing on a plate. Yeah, they fed you, right, Tyler?
Oh, I can't confirm or deny that. Might have been another guy you saw. No, I'm just kidding. I did. They did give me a plate, and it was delicious.
Yeah, really, really nice meal. And I mean, we just
got steak and asparagus. It was like gourmet. Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah,
absolutely, with pepper confetti on your mashed potatoes.
Yes. Yeah, very, very festive, they outdid themselves.
Hurley really, really enjoys and puts a lot of effort into presentation. And so we really appreciated that. No, we had nothing but great comments. I saw a fair number of to-go containers walk out the room. So some people like,
yeah,
waited time for my dinner because the serving was plentiful. And And I had one woman approach me in particular who I did not know. She was with either a family friend or perhaps her mother, who made a point to find me and to stop me and to say how very special it was for them to get to spend that time together with us. So yeah, it makes it all worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. I was older friend of mine who was there with his wife. I know them from Rotary and other things. And I was giving him a hard time about putting his asparagus on his wife's plate, about, you know, teasing him about not eating his vegetables. But then turned out there's some medication that he's taking that he's not able to have. So I felt bad. But
might have been the man in the dancing hat by chance.
He was not wearing a hat.
Oh, okay. Well, there was another Rotary.
Another one. Yeah. Yeah. Must have been going around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kathy, I just want to take you back, and we've revisited it a couple of times, but that week that you mentioned in March, when you found out that you were March of 2020, when you found out that you were going to, things were going to change for an undetermined period of time. What was that like, that period where you had to transition from in-person meals to all Meals on Wheels, and obviously stressful, scary?
Oh my. Yeah, it was. I mean, if you remember at the time, nope. I mean, people were worried about touching shared surfaces and, you know, you can't, you know, the virus lives on hard surfaces for 72 hours. So you just kind of don't know where is this thing lurking at that time. So, you know, we moved immediately to bottles of, you know, sanitizer to spray on tables in every room, and signs up all over the place about governor's orders and closing down. But there was also at the time very much a sense of, okay, we've got to close down and do this for 2 to 3 weeks, and then we'll be back at it.
Right. Right. It felt very temporary at first.
Absolutely. I at one point even developed a chart that I was going to put up on the wall that showed, you know, sort of daily cases in Oregon, thinking that, oh, very soon I'll be showing this downturn so we can all applaud and pat ourselves on the back and say, yay, we can. Well, I abandoned the chart and run around the parts of my building, I think. But yeah, I mean, people moved quickly into an emergency mode to call people, make sure they were okay. I mean, in the early days, it was a question of, you know, access. There was no toilet paper on the shelves, and people weren't able to leave their homes to pick up their medications. And so we really tried to focus on the essentials, you know, make sure that people had food and that they had the medications that they needed. And then to move from that into, you know, wellness calls. How are you feeling? Are you feeling isolated? Do you have somebody checking in on you? That sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, definitely didn't have a sense that we'd still be in this kind of environment almost 2 years later.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. Surely this has been the longest that you've ever had to have your dining room closed since the Canby Adult Center has been in operation.
Oh, yes. In my time here, my 12 years here, we never closed the dining room at all unless we had the, you know, one, twice
weather,
no day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Before COVID, it was what, 5 meals a week, just on weekdays, or?
4 hot meals a week. The dining room every weekday except Tuesday, but for home delivered meals, people sign up for different plans. Some people just want the hot meal. But then others get meals 7 days a week. So on a Friday, they'll receive a hot meal that was just made that day that we normally would have served in the dining room, and then 2 frozen meals.
Weekend. Yeah. Yeah. And you guys still partner with Fido, is that right, for pet owners?
We do. We do.
Yeah. So which is a cool program. They do the same thing, but for homebound seniors or seniors who are at home and have pets, so they don't kind of face it. Do I give the dog some of my food, or
exactly, you
know, they're going hungry, or yeah. So we had this nice event on Tuesday, wonderful event, as I said, first in-person meal in almost 2 years. Where are you guys going for me? Obviously that was kind of a one-off thing, but is the board looking to maybe, you know, bring some of that back in the new year, or is it just wait and see?
I think that there is some support from the board based on how this event went to try to bring back, you know, maybe a once a week meal. We're going to have to figure out, you know, do we just tell people, you know, by alphabet? Do we have them book in advance so that we're still able to keep the numbers down some? So we'll definitely be having that conversation in January about if this is something that we can do more often. We'll have to think about scheduling because we did it on a Tuesday on purpose because that's a day the kitchen isn't normally open. So now how to phase in a dining room program back with a much larger Meals on Wheels program. We've got some logistics to figure out, but I'm hopeful that by spring, you know, we've got people coming in once a week or so anyway for an in-person meal.
That would be cool. Yeah, because I might have forgot to ask you or forgot to mention, but for this meal this week, the Christmas meal, you did have folks sign up weeks in advance, I believe.
Yes, opened right after Thanksgiving.
Okay, slots filled up pretty fast, I'm guessing.
They did. We actually did have four or five seats open for the 130 seating.
Okay.
Main cancellations. We did go ahead and reach out and call people the day before to confirm they were coming because, you know, since we planned this event, now everybody's talking about the latest variant. And we thought, well, some people may change their minds about coming, but we only had maybe three or four people who opted not to come.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Well, Kathy, thank you so much for taking time out today. Thank you for inviting me to see that, because it was really heartwarming for me to see folks seeing their friends again, enjoying a meal together. That is just, you know, maybe not the most important thing, but it's such a big, big part of what Christmas is all about is seeing old friends, sharing a couple laughs. You had a joke. You said that you changed from the first seating because it didn't go over quite so well. But yeah, the 131 killed. That was good.
Thank you. Yes. I got it. My skills are rusty. I got to work on my delivery.
You do. You got to work on the stand-up comedian skills. But it sounds like you've got some time. So before you be up there cracking jokes again. Well, Kathy, again, thank you. Merry Christmas. Anything to add before you go?
No, thanks. Just a Merry Christmas back to you and yours, Tyler. And thanks for all the great work you're doing. And we appreciate you taking the time to join us on Tuesday.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Okay.
Getting a plate from Hurley does help sweeten the deal. So
you might
let him know. Okay. Get more press coverage.
Hey, Frankie, what are you doing?
I'm trying to figure out which TV option I want to use when DirectLink turns off their video services in January of next year. It's so confusing. Do you know there's about 48 million streaming services to choose from? Which devices do they work on? What channels do they offer?
No, I did not know that. But you do realize that you're probably better off than you think. If you have DirectLink's Easy Video TV now, you're already using a streaming service. But listen, you don't have to go this alone. DirectLink is actually helping their members transition to their next video provider. The company has an extensive informational website where you can compare popular services, and they host live tutorials on streaming TV options to help you decide.
Well, hold the phone. Are you saying that they're actively trying to help their members switch to a competing service? Who does that?
Well, DirectLink does. I mean, I guess it's one more chapter in their long history of wanting the best for our community. They've actually offered free classes for the past 12 years that teach our neighbors about the latest technology and internet security practices. And don't forget, they also orchestrated that popular bingo game last year that helped keep everyone entertained and connected during the lockdowns. They've also launched special programs to help keep our students connected at home during the pandemic, and partnered with the city of Canby to give free Wi-Fi year-round at three local parks for locals and visitors alike.
Wait, DirectLink does all that?
They do indeed, and that's on top of providing the best and most reliable internet and voice services in town. So, to learn more about Direct Link services or how they can help you transition to the right video service for your home, visit directlink.coop today.
Are you a healthcare hero? Do you want to become one? Are you looking for a position where you are valued, your time is your own, and you have ample opportunity for growth? Marquee Companies at Hope Village in Canby, Oregon offers all of that and more. They are currently hiring nurses, caregivers, CNAs, and enrolling students in their free CNA course. From competitive wages and up to $25,000 tuition reimbursement to flexible schedules and the opportunity to make a positive impact on someone's life, Marquee at Hope Village is the right place for you. Take your career to the next level and apply now to become a valued team member at Marquee at Hope Village in Canby. To learn more or apply today, text CURRENT, that's C-U-R-R-E-N-T, to 888-906-3432.
And finally, we wrap up this episode with another installment of Can Be Then. Can Be Then is brought to you by Retro Revival. They are not your average antique shop. They're open daily, and you can find them on the corner of Northwest 3rd and Grand Street in downtown Canby, or connect with them on Facebook or through email at retrorevivaloc@gmail.com. Over the years, the Christmas holiday season has held a special place in the hearts of many a Canby resident. Celebrations of the annual winter holiday date back to Canby's earliest days. In 1873, just 3 years after the town was given the name Canby, the Oregonian recorded a rendition of the Willamette's Ball, an annual soiree that was held here. Many responded to invitations extended, and the comfortable room was, as usual, crowded, the newspaper reported of the event. It is needless to say that affairs were conducted in excellent style, and the music was very fine. All spent a pleasant evening that may be safely said. Of course, Christmas holds special significance to the Christian faith community, which has long represented a sizable portion of Canby's citizenry. In the early days, many German-speaking Christians called Canby home, and the Canby Evangelical Church of North America had many such worshipers. For years, the group met and worshipped in the homes of fellow members, but in 1894, they built their first church, which still stands today at 339 South Township Road. The church was dedicated on Christmas Eve of that year under the direction of its first pastor, Reverend Hermann Schnuckich. German was the first spoken language in the church until 1912. In 1907, however, tragedy struck a prominent local family during the holiday season as well-known Canby citizen James Fegley went missing under mysterious circumstances. On December 17th, Fegley, an agent of Russellville Nursery Company, drove from Canby to Butteville, St. Paul, and finally to Woodburn on business, staying overnight in Shampooey. The following day, he was expected to return home to Canby, but he did not. In fact, he was never heard from again. His disappearance 10 days ago has aroused much speculation as to his probable fate, the Oregonian reported on December 28, 1907, and it is feared that he has met with foul play. Mr. Fegley drove a black horse with a white stripe on the forehead and had a top buggy, newspapers noted. The only theory that seems plausible is that one, that Mr. Fegley was held up a few miles from Shampooey before it was quite light, murdered, and his body placed in the bushes along the road and his conveyance driven away. Fegley's son Grant was a prominent businessman and later a politician in Portland who managed Columbia Woolen Mills. After receiving the distressing news of his father's disappearance on Christmas Day, he spent 3 days scouring the boggy underbrush on both sides of the 12-mile road between Canby and Shampooey, but to no avail. Mr. Fegley was 62 years of age and resided with his daughter, Mrs. John Rideman, at Canby, the Oregonian said. He was in his usual cheerful spirits, and the idea that he is a suicide is not entertained by his family. The authorities throughout the valley have been requested to look out for the supposed murderers with the stolen horse and buggy. Throughout the 20th century, the Christmas tree industry began to take root in Oregon, and Canby Farms were part of the early boom. In 1918, the city's farms harvested an estimated 40,000 firs and distributed them around the world. In 1924, a snowstorm dumped several inches of white powder on Canby just in time for Christmas, and though the youngsters enjoyed the chance to build snowmen and indulge in other frivolities, the storm caused the city no small amount of trouble. With 3 or 4 inches of snow and slush covering the ground here, and no lights or water, Canby was in a plight as a result of the storm, which started at 7:30 this morning, the Oregonian said. Snow fell most of the day. Electric lights and telephone wires were damaged. The water supply ran out early tonight. Several accidents were reported on the highway during the day. 3 years later, an airmail plane piloted by N.B. Evans was wrecked near the Clackamas County Fairgrounds in Canby shortly before Christmas. And don't worry, there's no evidence to suggest the plane struck an airborne sleigh pulled by 8 tiny reindeer. Instead, the pilot reported that his engine had gone dead as he passed over Canby at an altitude of about 1,200 feet. Evans initially attempted to land on the fairgrounds' fine racetrack, but couldn't make an approach due to the electrical wires. After landing in a nearby field, the pilot, who was uninjured, began promptly disassembling the aircraft so it could be transported back to Portland for service. Only the landing gear and the left wing were damaged in the unplanned landing. Scandal rattled through Canby in 1929 as a series of, quote, disgraceful episodes were reported on the city's streets on December 25th. It is alleged that one young man of Canby was found in a drunken sleep early Christmas morning and was taken home by a friend in a car, the Canby Herald reported the following day. Other young men or boys are said to have been drunk on the street Tuesday evening, but no arrests were made. Gambling was also allegedly witnessed on the Christian holiday, a vice that has been the scourge of many an upstanding citizen that winter, according to the Herald. Much indignation has been aroused as a result of the alleged outrages uncovered Christmas Eve, the newspaper reported. And Knight Officer Boolsby, who is looked up to for the preservation of peace and dignity, was the subject of more or less censure. According to the paper, several prominent citizens had gathered at the post office on the day after Christmas to demand something be done. Unless adequate means of protection against such infringement upon the peace and dignity of the community is given, it was pointed out, there will be justification in enlisting the aid of state authorities to clean up the town, the Herald said. From what can be learned by current reports, there seems to be no doubt but that some of these requests are justified. The week of Christmas, 1988, 6 migrant families from Mexico facing eviction from a Canby church found themselves in a new warm surrounding and on the receiving end of food, toys, and clothing donated by community residents. The families, consisting of 43 people, had moved into the Iglesia del Dios Vivo on Juniper Street earlier that month after their work terms had been completed and they had nowhere else to go. But the presence of that many people in the aging building represented a safety concern, and the city had informed them that they would have to find new lodgings. Enter the Canby Grove Christian Conference Center, which put up all 43 souls in comfortable cabins on their property. Other generous Canbyites flooded the center with donations after hearing about the migrants' plight. When the bus showed up to transport the workers and their meager belongings to the new temporary living quarters, the families began singing religious songs, the Oregonian reported. Many parents held hands with their sleepy children and carried babies in their arms. And finally, one last tale from Canby's Christmas history. In 2001, library patron Felicia Sheeran checked out a video that contained an animated version of the poem "Twas the Night Before Christmas," along with several other holiday cartoons from the 1950s. She also checked out a book containing the same classic Yuletide poem. Both media contained depictions of Santa smoking a pipe and drinking a cup of holiday cheer. Sheeran returned the book in the movie with notes saying the materials were inappropriate for her 6-year-old daughter and 3-year-old son, and demanding that they be removed from the library. On December 17th, just in time for Christmas, the library board issued its ruling. The materials would not be removed from the children's section. Policy held that censorship is purely an individual matter, and that the library does not act in a place of parents with regards to the materials that children select. Library Director Beth Saul sent a letter to Sheeran notifying her of the board's decision and thanking her for her interest and involvement. And that'll do it for this rendition of Canby Then on this episode of Now Hear This Canby. So grateful to have you join us. As always, thank you for listening. Have a great day, and we'll see you in 2022.
Tyler, did you know that the Australian lyrebird can mimic any sound that it hears, even chainsaws?
No, that's super interesting.
Did you know that a baby puffin is called a puffling? Or no. That baby sea otters can't swim, so their moms wrap them up in pieces of kelp until they learn how to paddle?
Wait, do you know any trivia that isn't like animal related?
Not really, but here's some stuff you may not know about the Wild Hare Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun.
Okay.
The Wild Hare is one of Canby's longest running locally owned restaurants. Owners Joan and Darren Moden have been in business for 16 years.
That's cool.
Yep. Heck, you were just a baby back then. And they love to give back. They've been members of the Canby Chamber for that long, and they donate over $20,000 to local sports, FFA programs, and civic organizations each year.
Wow, I'm legitimately like caught off. That's cool.
Yeah. They also support more than 30 jobs in the community through their award-winning staff, some of them as young as 18. Hey, that's older than you are.
Dude, I'm 10 months younger than you.
With the days getting longer and the weather getting warmer, the Canby Wild Hare's expansive outdoor patio is the place to be. Furry friends, welcome.
Well, that sounds great. I'm going to go check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City, or on their website at thewildhairsaloon.net.
Now Hear This Canby is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website, olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Canby is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned, full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.